Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go, hour two. It is a Friday, live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Joy Taylor is joining me. BJ Armstrong, who played with the great MJ, will be joining us. So good to be here on a fresh week. Is just flying by. So, I got a couple of thoughts here. I got a bunch of stuff I want to get out before we get to BJ Armstrong. Joy, we're both wearing blue today. I don't even know why.
I just noticed that.
Really?
I don't know. What team are we celebrating?
So, I was thinking about LeBron this morning, and I grew up in the Pacific Northwest. I can remember the first time I had Starbucks. I was in a Ford Explorer. I was in Las Vegas, and I'd heard about it. It was in the 80s, and Starbucks started 1971 in Seattle. The first store was by Pike Place Market. But it wasn't until the mid-80s where it exploded. And I, you know, Vegas is not exactly a coffee market. It's 110, you know, scorpions are, say, like, let's simmer down the heat. So I remember pulling into a Starbucks. I'd heard a lot about it from my friends, and I went to a Starbucks and I ordered it. And it was the best coffee. There was nothing else to compete with. Like, it was the best coffee. Like, it was just everywhere. It's like McDonald's. It was everywhere in every corner. But now, because the quality of coffee making in America, it is such a gigantic industry, has improved. And this is no shot at Starbucks. I haven't been to a Starbucks in years. It's just not, it is more iconic than its coffee is good. There's just better coffee. I live in, up the road, there's a place called Alfred's. Significantly better coffee. Everybody in our family is like, it's better coffee. Pete's, better coffee. It's no shot. But I watched LeBron last night. LeBron's legacy and iconic stature is now better consistently than his game is. Like, he disappears in games. He doesn't have the leverage. He doesn't get as high. Now, by the way, the Frappuccino I get at Starbucks is still great. Like, I don't drink it, but people love it. And LeBron has his moments. But you do get to a point where, like, the stature is better than the reality. Like Peyton Manning at the end. Denver's defense won that Super Bowl. It wasn't Peyton, although he's all-time great, top five. But I do feel that you do get to a point when somebody's legacy is better than their actual work. And I kind of feel that. The second thing in the NBA playoffs, here's who's getting a huge break, and nobody's talking about this. So Utah's been good for years with Quinn Snyder. They've always had one issue. They're very good at guard, and they've got a great defensive big. They're not good in the wings. They can score. They're not super athletic in the wing. LeBron was a nightmare. Kawhi's a nightmare. A great wing, Kevin Durant, would be a nightmare. LeBron's out, and tonight Kawhi could be out. Huge, huge break for Utah. The teams they would face, what's Phoenix? Phoenix is about guard play and a big. Well, what is Denver? Well, Jokic, you know, they're a big. They can defend the big. You start looking around the NBA now, and even Milwaukee's got, like, a great big, and Drew Holiday, your guard play. Like, now, again, Brooklyn, I think, would beat Utah. That's not a great matchup. They just could not handle Kevin Durant. But in the West, Utah's been good now for years. They do not match up with LeBron at the wing. They don't have anybody that can stop him. It doesn't matter. They can't do it. And Kawhi and Paul George is a nightmare. They're built to compete with Luka. Mike Conley, I mean, they can put bodies on him. I mean, Luka's going to get Luka's stuff. But Dallas, I mean, Dallas has some size, and Dallas has the great Luka. But it's like they're in Hardaway. But they'll match up fine with a Dallas. Better than Dallas than the Clippers. But I think Utah's gotten a big, big break with LeBron out and potentially Kawhi out. So I think if you ask Utah privately, they'll take on Dallas. I don't know how they did in the regular season. I forget. But I would take Dallas if I was Utah. Who Utah does not want to face is Brooklyn. That doesn't work at all. That's a bad matchup. Because I think they can beat anybody. I think Milwaukee is a decent enough matchup. Philadelphia, they'd match up with okay. I think Phoenix, they'd match up with. Denver, they match up with. They do not match up with Brooklyn. That is just, that's bad news. You know, they actually, Utah actually, to its credit, actually matched up okay with Michael Jordan and the Bulls twice because they had Brian Russell, who was a great defensive guard. So Michael Jordan had a lot of bad games against Utah. They beat him both times, but they matched up with those teams really well because if you kind of go back to what the Bulls just had, it was Harper, it was MJ, it was a lot of good, you know, your Paxson's, your Curry, they got a lot of points from the backcourt, and Utah had a great defender in the backcourt. Stockton, by the way, would play defense as well. So let's bring on BJ Armstrong, 3-time NBA champ, is now joining us live. So, you know, it's interesting. Everybody talks about LeBron's legacy, and I'm like, don't worry about LeBron's legacy. It's fine. But Kawhi's is interesting, BJ, because this is 2 years. They're way too talented to be this lousy at the end of games. We all blame Doc Rivers. Well, Doc's doing pretty good in Philly.
Right.
Ty Lue is no slouch. He knows what he's doing. He's got a title. This team should not be nearly this bad at the end of games. They've lost every home game in the playoffs. You know, you talk about Kawhi, BJ. What made Michael great was not only his relentlessness and his talent, but Mike would get in your kitchen in timeouts. Mike communicated. Mike was verbal. Mike was not passive-aggressive. If there was a problem, BJ would go right to you. He's yelling. With Kawhi, BJ, and you as an agent know this, not every athlete is comfortable with being verbal. Is Kawhi just a really talented two that you need a different kind of guy to be the centerpiece of your franchise?
Well, Colin, it appears to be with a talent like Kawhi Leonard. Without question, Kawhi is one of the elite players in the NBA. He is, without exception, a lead player, and his talent warrants that respect and what he's been able to do. I mean, what he's done speaks for itself throughout his career. However, what we're talking about is a personality that requires him to do something that maybe he's not comfortable with.
Right.
And that's to be confrontational at times. And all great leaders, you know, you got to do what you have to do. And, you know, you talk about Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan was comfortable being uncomfortable. And if need be, he would make you uncomfortable because in the end, there was one thing that he was, you know, which he wanted, which is performance. You know, it all came down to winning with him. It was just, he was very single-minded, focused that way. So I think in the end, Kawhi Leonard right now is at a place where he's got to allow his personality, which may not be very verbal. He has to come out, let the guys know where he's at, and be able to really force his will upon the team because his talent is, you know, he's without question an elite player in the NBA.
You know, the old saying in the NBA, a guy is loyal until he's not. And I love Dame, but I think he is just exhausted from dropping 50 and losing. He's still got another four. I mean, he's a smaller guy, but he's a terrific player. If you can shoot like that, you can play in the NBA for a long time.
Right.
Deep down, I know he's disappointed. Is this just like one bad night? Or, you know, as somebody who's an agent, there's going to be a lot of suitors. There's going to be people in his ear, BJ. They're going to be like, Dame, you're 30, bruh. You got to move. What do you think transpires here?
Well, I think there will be a lot of feelers and a lot of takers for a talent like Damian Lillard throughout the NBA. However, Damian has shown the ability. You know, he's very loyal, and he's been very loyal to the organization, and he's a competitor at the highest level. I mean, what he did in this last series, I mean, he's just an amazing, amazing competitor. What he was able to do and score the way he's able to score. However, I think, Colin, you made some great points. He's got to figure out at this next phase of his career, you know, he's roughly around 30, 31 years of age. You know, how much longer can a smaller guy continue to play and move? And these guys seem like they're getting faster and faster every year, like Ja Morant, so forth and so on. So he's at a place in his career where he's saying, I got to be able to make a run at the next 3 to 4 years. And what's going to give me the best, the best chances to do that and achieve? Because you clearly know the way he plays, he has one focus. He wants to win, and he shows up every night. So I think he has to sit down. Right now, he's very emotional. So, you know, over the summer, whenever the time is right, I think he will sit down and make the best move that, you know, he feels will be comfortable for him moving forward with his career.
You know, it's interesting. I'm going to throw a theory out to you, and you tell me if it's wrong. I have no problem. I really don't. Of you ripping my theory. So here goes. It's really hard to find a great player like Dame. It's hard to find a number two. Finding a Pippen's hard. And I argue, like, they, Mark Cuban's a smart guy. They could never get Dirk a two in his prime. They can't find Dame. Portland's drafted a lot of good players. They can't find Dame a two. It's hard. And I look at Luka and I think, listen, man, they thought Porzingis was a two. He's an expensive three. That's what he's become. Is it harder as a somebody who's an agent? Because it used to be you could get 3 and 4 years of tape out of a college guy. If you screw that up as a scout, you're a bad scout. Now I get, if I'm lucky, 30 college games of tape. That's all I get. So there's more whiffs in the draft. We're asking, I mean, the NFL scout, I get 4 years of tape. I better not screw up that linebacker. NBA scouts getting 30 games. 99% of the players that Jalen Suggs at Gonzaga played against are not NBA guys. How do I know I was going to play against NBA guys? So that finding that two may be tougher now than it was in the MJ era. Am I right or wrong on that?
Colin, you're absolutely right. Finding a star player is a very difficult thing, especially today, because there's just not enough tape. There's not enough tape on these guys to actually properly evaluate. You don't know, you know, who's who. I mean, you look at Jokic. Jokic was a second round pick, okay, and he could possibly or potentially be the MVP this year in the NBA. You know, you look at players. You know, some of these players aren't drafted. You know, the players coming from Europe, players are coming from all over. There's just not a traditional way to properly evaluate players in a league where you're seeing the players get younger and younger and younger. So you're absolutely right. Finding a number one player is very, very difficult. Finding a number two player, I mean, it's almost impossible the way these guys are playing. You got to find combination. And then, Colin, there's a thing called chemistry. You got to find guys where it just works. We don't know why it works, but it works. So, you know, Luka Doncic, you know, I had an opportunity to watch this young man for many years over in Europe. I thought he was going to be a good player. Did I think he was going to be this Luka that we're currently seeing? No. But you know what? Suddenly he's ascended to this level. I saw Giannis play over in Greece. Did I think he was going to be back-to-back MVP? The answer is no. So again, it's very difficult. But when you find them, you roll with it. And you know what? It's hard to put these combinations together because that's the one thing that the analytics doesn't show. The chemistry and the bringing a team together that works for the entire group.
You're a perfect guest today. I was just talking about this last hour with Joy. Is that not only was LeBron great in his prime, but he had a superpower. He could tell Rich Paul, Clutch Sports, or he'd get on the phone and say, I want to play with you. And Chris Bosh and Kevin Love, in their prime, would go play with LeBron, give up stats, give up points. I mean, literally, Chris Bosh, there were nights he had to be LeBron's valet. And he's a first-team All-NBA guy. Kevin Love was a perennial 25-12 guy. LeBron now, if he called a John Morant, John'd be like, you're old. You're my Robin. I'm not your Robin. And I watched LeBron last night, and I thought, the imagery, you know this as an agent, everybody wants to play with John Morant now. Everybody wants to play with Luka. I think a lot of the stars, they would take LeBron's call out of respect, but why would I saddle myself to LeBron? I think the titles are done. I think the Lakers will blow it up and start over, but I watched last night. It's no knock on him, but the superpower of attracting a top five player. BJ, I think it's over. That's my interpretation, your thoughts.
Well, I think age catches up with all of us, and certainly let's not, you know, this is a very vulnerable state that LeBron is in because he's been great for so long. But, you know, let's call it like it is. You know, LeBron is getting older. And once you get older, you know, the games in which you're able to carry a game and close a game, it begins to diminish. And that's what you're seeing. LeBron James, without question, can still finish a game. But now he's at a place in his career where having to carry a 48-minute game for 82 games or the regular season, in the case we're talking about here with these shortened seasons that we have, it's getting very difficult for him. You added injury there, and you can see how difficult it is. So I think it's important for the Lakers right now, if they're going to continue to compete for championships, Anthony Davis is going to have to be the best player on the team, in particular in the regular season. He's going to have to carry the game, which will allow LeBron James to do what LeBron James can do right now. Still, at this level, he can finish a game. But getting there and playing and doing the regular season and all those things, look, we all get older. And once you get older, your body doesn't heal. You know, father time doesn't pass anyone. So it's just getting more difficult for him in that regard. But still, LeBron James is still an elite player at this league, even at his age. I mean, he's coming into year 19. But right now, it's getting more and more difficult for him to do that on a very consistent basis, or what we've come to expect from LeBron James.
BJ Armstrong, have a great weekend. Always love having you on the show. Perfect guy today, 3-time champ. Good seeing you, man.
All right, you too. Thank you.
All right, BJ Armstrong, one of my favorite guys. Really good guy. Joy?
Yes?
Mac Jones, quarterback, New England.
Mm-hmm.
Had a stinker yesterday. Terrible practice. Can I say something? Of course I can. I think Belichick's making a big mistake here. I think he's making a big mistake. As a parent, this is something I've learned through having a lot of kids. He's making a mistake with Mac Jones. I want to discuss this next.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Tomorrow on Fox, it's one of the greatest rivalries in sports as the Red Sox take on the Yankees or the Dodgers battle the Braves or Cubs-Giants. Tomorrow, 7 Eastern on Fox and the Fox Sports app. Check local listings for the game in your area.
So Mac Jones had a lousy practice, rough day at practice for the Patriots, story is. So I want to talk about this for a second. I got some stepkids. I got some biological kids. I got 6, a lot of them. You learn very quickly. One size does not fit all. Some are quiet. Some are verbal and outspoken. Some are a little insecure. Some are super confident. Some are social. Some do not like crowds. That's the way kids are. They're all different. And it's weird, right? You're like, shouldn't my kids be the exact same? Same mom, same dad, same childhood, same schools, same. They're not. They're often complete opposites. There's the middle child syndrome, you know, doesn't get the attention. So New England, Bill Belichick, rookie quarterbacks, he makes it hard on them. Makes them wear dorky numbers and, you know, take a little steam out of the ego. I don't think it works with Mac Jones. I think you have to do the opposite. I think you have to sell him to the players. I said a couple days ago, video has surfaced of Cam Newton and Mac Jones next to each other. Mac Jones looks pathetic. He looks like a ball boy. Nothing fits. He looks tiny. Next to Cam Newton, the players see that. Cam's an Adonis. Mac Jones looks like somebody Cam would call and say, "You park my car?" He doesn't look the part. The opposite should take place. You don't have to do this with Justin Fields. Justin Fields is 6'4", 220, a man. Okay, when Justin Fields walks on the field, you're like, whoa, 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 whoa. The girls, the guys, the coaches, the fans, like, whoa. Mac Jones, we knew this. Body needs to fill out. He's not ripped. He's not big. He doesn't have a big arm. What you're doing here is you're marginalizing him even more. The opposite should take place. You should go out of your way to make him look great in his uniform, great at practice, everything to benefit him. Because the players are looking at that like I am. If you walked on the field and that's the quarterback, you got to be kidding me. That wouldn't turn my head at a junior college practice. So I know this is why I'm not a big believer in one size fits all. And I used to think it did. In my 20s and 30s, I was like, winner, loser, black, white, a lot of gray in life. But this Mac Jones thing, you got to sell this to players. Because Mac Jones' arm, players don't buy it. Mac Jones' body, players don't buy it. Mac Jones in the shower, that doesn't look like a Justin Fields. Or Tom Brady, 6'5". I've been in a room with Peyton Manning. That's a pro athlete. I mean, you're in the room with some of these guys. You're like Cam Newton, Big Ben, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Brett Favre. If you watch him throw one time at practice, oh, okay, Patrick Mahomes. I mean, 2 years ago at practice, Peter Schrager called me up and said, Mahomes is insane. We told you yesterday, Justin Herbert at practice, Deshaun Watson at practice. You don't have to sell that. You don't have to protect those guys. Those guys jump off the field. Players are like, damn, what is that? Mac Jones, give him a legitimate number. Make him look the part. Reportedly, terrible practice, rough day. With that look, I don't know. I don't like it. So systems are meant to be tweaked at all times. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
To your point, that's why I really don't love rookie quarterbacks who are taken in the first round sitting behind someone. It's their team. It's going to be their team.
Give it to them.
Give it to them. Well, lean in on it. If they go out there and they fail or they struggle and you have to have a conversation with them, maybe it'll humble them a little bit. You hope that's not the case. But it's like, it's your team, but you're not ready yet. And like, it's harder to sell that. So Anthony Davis was back in the Lakers lineup for game 6 last night. Very short-lived.
Yeah, very quick.
He didn't even make it a full quarter before re-aggravating his groin strain. And after the loss, he said the team's injuries ultimately led to their downfall.
We were rolling. We had the pieces. We just, couldn't stay healthy. A lot of that, was me. We have a main guy that's not on the floor. And then you have another guy, your two main guys, that's not able to participate. It's just tough for extensive amount of time. So that's all it really was.
I don't know what he was out there for.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I don't know. I think, did Anthony feel a little pressure that, I mean, let's be honest. He's hearing what people are saying.
Of course.
And so he's like, okay, I'm going to give this a go. But I mean, if you watched him, I mean,
he couldn't move.
Yeah, I mean, he was in real pain.
He's like, Booker's in front of him, making 6 threes in a row. Any move and he's going around him. Like, yeah. He can't move. He's like, he's holding his leg as he's trying to defend. I don't understand what he was out there for. I don't understand how the I mean, they were, Charles and them were talking about it. I don't understand how the doctor even clears him. But, and look, I don't know what he's feeling at the beginning of the game. Right. Maybe he felt like he could go, but it was very obvious very quickly he wasn't able to go. I mean, look, I'm glad he said a lot of that is him because, yes, the reason why they didn't win last night, taking nothing away from the Suns and nothing away from Devin Booker's performance, but they were not in the game. They were never in the game, and that's because Anthony Davis was not out there. Like, you have to have your best players. We know that LeBron is not 100%. No one is 100% at this point in the season. Now, some people are a little less percentage than others, obviously, and some are older, and some have more wear and tear on them, like LeBron, like CP3. But you build your team around an injury-prone player, and this is what is going to happen.
Yeah.
At one point or another.
Yeah.
Like, not having him through the regular season for a stretch, okay, you can overcome that as long as he's healthy for the playoffs, but he's not.
Yeah.
What happened with the Lakers is not shocking to me. This is what Anthony Davis is.
Yeah.
There's a reason why, obviously a different sport, there's a reason why Trey Lance is in San Francisco and Jimmy Garoppolo was just in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
He cannot get on the field.
Yeah,
and you can't build your team around somebody who is not available.
This is why I've been saying for 2 years to trade Embiid, because his value is going to go down. I mean, if Embiid now comes back, plays two games, gets hurt again, what's his value on the market? I mean, Embiid has value, but this morning, AD's value on the market is significantly less than a year ago.
You're only as talented as you are available.
Yeah.
You can be the best player in the world. If you can't get on the court, that doesn't help. So, look, I mean, I am not thrilled about the idea of watching the NBA playoffs without LeBron James in them. I know everyone, LeBron James haters are, like, celebrating. And I'm going to really enjoy watching the Suns team. I think that you can be two things at once. I know, like, the internet can't process that. That's a lot to deal with. But, like, I can be disappointed that I'm not going to see LeBron James through the rest of the playoffs and simultaneously happy for the Suns. Two things can happen. Speaking of the Suns, Chris Paul has a player option with the Suns worth over $44 million, but he reportedly intends to decline the option in the offseason and hopes to secure a new multi-year deal worth around $100 million over 3 years.
I'd love to give him two. He wants three.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's at this point in his career, he's going to push for more years. I mean, look, contract structures are very complicated, obviously, but I wouldn't mind the 3 years if it's, you know, if in the end we can move some things around. But everyone wants to talk about how great Booker was last night, and he was absolutely phenomenal and incredible. But the Suns were terrified at the beginning of this series. Why? Because Chris Paul was injured.
Right.
He brings an immense amount of value to this organization. No, he's not the one putting up 46 points. He, as soon as he touches the ball, the entire game slows down.
Yeah.
It's like everyone's like, oh, okay, like, what are we going to do now? What's the plan?
Yeah.
There's a completely different tone when he is on the court. So I do think that he deserves this contract. Like, it might sound like a lot of money, but he has changed this organization.
Yeah, I mean, I don't doubt his value. I mean, I think the way it works in pro sports, to get what you want, you got to always swallow some bad years. Like these baseball contracts for 10 years with Mookie Betts. You're going to get six great, two okay, and two, you're getting crushed on it. But if you can win two World Series. Chris Paul reportedly wants like $100 million 3 years. I would love to have him for two more. I don't want to pay for the third. But if I keep Chris Paul for 2 years and I'm in the Western Conference Finals once and the Finals twice, it's the price of doing business. You're not going to win. It was the Danny Ainge criticism.
Exactly.
You don't win every trade. If you can get Chris Paul, you're going to have to pay one lousy year, but you're going to sell. You're going to get season tickets the next 3 years with him. Your season tickets, your merchandise sales. By the way, this owner, this Robert Sarver guy, by the way, was running through coaches, running through players. This is, don't screw this
don't
up.
Screw you got about, the formula.
Don't screw it up. Pay the extra year.
Itching to do it.
That's right. Just pay the extra year. Mookie Betts, you're going to get clobbered at the end of it.
Everyone complains about teams being aggressive and spending all this money, and like they complained about the Rams, and everyone's freaking out about the Jared Goff contract.
Yeah.
$1 million.
Yeah.
He's not even there anymore.
Listen, Fox or iHeart, at some point, I'm going to be talking in circles and my dentures will fall out. But I'll sign a big contract. It'll be the last one. The last 2 years, I'll be terrible.
Yeah, but we're crushing right now.
We are crushing.
So you got to pay for it.
Rolling over people.
So Cam Newton didn't have long to learn the Patriots system last year after signing so late in the summer. This season, he has a lot more time to prepare. And Josh McDaniels says he's noticing the difference.
He was certainly in a point when he got here that was a unique situation, having really no experience and exposure to our system prior to training camp starting. He has a different grasp of the offense, a different understanding of the terminology. And now we're working on refining, the precision, the details.
I don't want to be dramatic or anything, but I do think the Patriots are going to be a lot better than people think this
year. I'm not even a Cam fan. He's easily their best quarterback. And by the way, I've been critical of Cam. Cam Newton gets signed right before the season. There's no preseason. The receivers are terrible. He's got no receivers, no tight ends. Edelman hurt. He gets COVID. But at the end of the year, last 7-8 games, you're like, oh, they're winning games with all those opt-outs. This is one of the best future bets in the league this year. So Cam gets a camp. He gets OTAs. He knows the playbook. They go and get Nelson Aguilar, Kendrick Bourne, Jonnu Smith, Hunter Henry. Their offensive line's already very, very good, and their running backs are fine. Like, listening to Boston media lament Cam Newton, Tom Brady left after 20 years of loyalty because it's like, we have no players.
Yeah.
Like, Cam's gonna be fine. I don't think you can win the division, mostly because of Josh Allen in Buffalo. You could win about four divisions in the NFL with Cam. You're not gonna win the AFC West. You're not gonna win the NFC West. You're not gonna win your division because of Josh Allen. But this idea that Cam was a total disaster, he got COVID. He was terrible for 2 weeks after it. Maybe you've heard of COVID. I have guys who are like great athletes, great shape, knocked them out for 6 months. So it's like New England's going to be fine. They're going to be a playoff team this year.
They have 8 opt-outs returning. They were very aggressive in the offseason. This isn't the same division as it was last year. Cam Newton is not a rookie. He's capable of learning this system. He needed some more time in it. And everything that you said is true. It was a very choppy season for everyone last year, but especially for the Patriots and Cam Newton. He did injure his right hand in practice today. He stayed in the field but didn't throw again. I don't think it's anything to freak out about, but just want to put that out there as a little update on Cam.
The Boston media was just absurd.
I mean, you can't – whoever's going to – we talked about this yesterday. You don't want to be the guy that replaces the guy, right?
No question.
I mean, you want the opportunity, obviously, but you have to understand when you're stepping into that role, there's going to be some unrealistic expectations from some people because that's what they're used to seeing and dealing with. But yes, when you put things in perspective – everyone just simmer a little bit. It's okay to have a little down year after a legend leaves you. And it wasn't even his fault. Like, they were 2-1 before he got COVID, and they were 5-7 after he came back.
Yeah. There you go. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line.
Nice guys finish last. No, they don't. I will prove it with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers next. Plus an update on Aaron Rodgers.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hot water that never runs out. Go to tanklessmadesimple.com, tanklessmadesimple.com for a Navien tankless water heater. Very efficient, save on your water bill. Two NFL stories. Number one, a Green Bay Packer offensive coordinator, Hackett, went word salad yesterday. Jordan loves doing this. Oh, it's just word salad. Just a bunch of words, doesn't mean anything. So let's give you an Aaron Rodgers update. So he missed OTAs. They're not mandatory. He doesn't get fined. No big deal. Next week, mandatory 3-day mini camp. Green Bay could fine him. We'll see if they do. He'll be a no-show. The fines don't matter. He's still playing the ukulele. He still wants to make it known he's upset. So I do not believe he'll go to 3-day mandatory minicamp. And the fines, if they do fine him, who cares? $90,000, whatever. Aaron in Green Bay gets interesting July 27th because that's the start of training camp. And if by July 27th he doesn't report, what's really interesting is not in Green Bay. It's the phones in Denver, Washington, and Miami. They will make calls. Denver's got Drew Lock and Teddy B. Not good enough. Washington's got Ryan Fitzpatrick. Not good enough. Miami's got Tua. Not good enough. And all three rosters are playoff rosters with Aaron Rodgers. So I'm going to double down on something I said yesterday. There is a way to play this right. So listen, if Aaron no-shows this year, the Packers aren't going to be great with Jordan Love. We'll all acknowledge that. Green Bay can't control that. They can't control Aaron currently, and they can't control Jordan Love's development. They can't control it. What can they control? They can control Aaron Rodgers' first year by trading him at the trade deadline 8-9 weeks in. Listen, if you're going to be bad and you know what Jordan Love, you know, you're crossing your fingers on, you know, 10-7 or 9-8, right? It is a winnable division because Green Bay is well run, good players, and the division's kind of a mess. But I can't control Jordan Love, how good he is, and I can't get Aaron back into camp. But I can control trading him to, let's say, Denver. Let's use Denver. October 20th, whatever the date is. Why does that matter? Because if you trade him to Denver July 27th, he doesn't show up to camp, and you trade him there. Look at Denver's schedule. Now, Denver historically is great in September because of the high altitude. Teams come out of camp. They go to Denver. You go back 30 years. Denver's great at home in September. Even average Bronco teams. Denver was a fourth place team. Look at their schedule. If you put Aaron Rodgers there in training camp, he's got at the Giants win, at the Jags win, Jets at home win, Baltimore. That schedule's got Raiders twice, Bengals, Detroit, Philadelphia. It's got the NFC East. Aaron's going to have a great September. He may start the season 4-0 in one of their toughest out-of-conference games, late September, Baltimore, up in the mountains. That is a 11-12 win potential team with that schedule. That's a fourth-place schedule. That is an easy schedule. Okay, but if I send Aaron there and he's got a, you know, he opens up, you know, at Dallas, a couple weeks later, he gets the Chargers, Kansas City, gets Kansas City and the Chargers both two times. All right. And by the way, he's learning the playbook on the fly. All right. Maybe I send him there week eight, opens up with Washington's pass rush, doesn't know the playbook. All right. Next week, they're at Dallas. You know, say what you want. They're scoring points. He's still not really ready with the playbook. Listen, you can't control Jordan Love getting better, so it's going to be choppy if you go with him. But the media is not going to talk about Jordan Love. If Aaron goes to Denver in week eight, that's all guys like me are talking about. And so Aaron's not going to be great. Jordan Love's going to be great. I can live with that. What I don't want, I trade Aaron now, and he crushes. And everybody's like, Packers are idiots. For 18 weeks, you're getting crushed. The front office. So if Aaron can be petty, you can at least be clever if you're in Green Bay. Get him to the AFC, trade him at the trade deadline. Here's another one. I've never been a fan of this. Nice guys finish last. No, suckers do. Naive guys do. And sometimes nice guys are naive guys. Sometimes nice guys are suckers. But I do not believe nice guys finish last. I've known a lot of smart guys, a lot of good guys, a lot of family guys who are nice guys, and they're doing really, really well. And I think it's a terrible message. Be a schmuck, you'll do better. Nice guys don't finish last. But I was thinking about this morning, is that Bruce Arians, he'd been coaching forever. He retired at one point, went to CBS, came back. They had to talk him back into it. And he was talking, Clyde Christensen, the Buccaneers quarterback coach, said yesterday, Brady was not 100%. He didn't get a preseason. He was not 100%. People just don't understand. Tom's going to be better this year. Like, Tom's going to be much better this year. And I thought, Bruce Arians is a good guy. This is what he deserves. Andy Reid deserved Patrick Mahomes. Andy Reid's been one of the best guys in the league. Everybody loves. His rivals love Andy Reid. Everybody loves Arians. One got Brady and one got Mahomes. I don't want to hear that nice guys finish last. Arians is one of the most loved guys in the league. He's going to end his career with the GOAT. He said this week, I look, Tom, look at our receivers. I mean, Arians ended up with one of the best GMs in the league, the greatest quarterback, the most ridiculously stacked roster in a decade in the league. Nice guys don't finish last. And Andy Reid took a bunch of C-plus quarterbacks to the playoffs. Andy Reid got to Super Bowls and NFC championships with B-minus quarterbacks. His last 10 years, he gets Mahomes. That's exactly what Andy Reid should get. So, all you grumpy coaches, doesn't guarantee anything. Belichick, it's not ending well. It don't look good. And I don't buy the Mac Jones going to be the next thing in that division with Josh Allen. So, it makes me happy that Andy Reid and Bruce Arians, this is how it's ending. Superstars, all in, have their health, totally committed. Nice guys don't finish last. It's a terrible message. By the way, A's and the Golden Knights in your Discover Card key matchup. Discover matches all the cash back you earn in your credit card into your first year. Amazing, because it's accepted at 99% of the places in the U.S. that take credit cards. Go to discover.com/yes. By the way, Joy tells me I'm not on Twitter. that the internet is just dancing on LeBron's loss last night.
Well, I mean, you had to expect that.
Bad.
Look, people have been waiting forever for LeBron to lose in the first round, and it finally happened. And, you know, people, it's not like, oh, I've been waiting to be right about this, how we were talking yesterday. Like, sometimes we know we're right about some stuff, but we're just going to have to wait. Like, LeBron losing in the first round is not something to be right about.
Listen, LeBron won titles in three places. Michael couldn't win games in a second place. Michael couldn't make the playoffs in a second place. LeBron won titles in three places.
Well, they're saying, like, you know, LeBron wasn't really, like, playing hard last night.
He's 18 years in the league.
I mean, I think it's laughable. Also, I just, like, now we are watching the postseason without LeBron James. So, like, I can be thrilled for the Suns and happy for them and excited to watch them and still simultaneously be sad I'm not going to watch LeBron James in
Listen,
the playoffs.
Listen, if you give me Brooklyn and the Suns...
No, it's a great finals.
I think it's great. All right, hour three on a Friday in L.A. It's The Herd.